Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbach Brewing Company.
Well, welcome back in to the Rock the Mic Finals, live from Carbach, second floor Carbach. If you're a little late getting here, that's all right. Time now for our next finalists, 713 Houston Sports, Ruben Colaville, the host of 713 Houston Sports Podcast. Ruben has been growing his podcast and YouTube channel now for 4 years and wants to give fans a fresh perspective on their favorite team. Find him on Twitter at 713 Houston Sports, 713 HOU Sports.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't know how to say who. Ruben, tell us a little bit about yourself. Good to see you, man.
First of all, gentlemen, what's going on? I've had this channel for about 4 years. Started it when Laramie Tunsil got traded. I couldn't find nothing on YouTube or ESPN about the trade. So, you know, my mother, she was like, why don't you go up there and do it? I did that, and I fell in love with it ever since. Blessed to get this channel to 12,000 subscribers. I'm also featured on Bleacher Report, where I talk about the Houston Texans. And, you know, it's all me, man. I've been grinding, you know, since I was 20-something doing this channel. 26 now. Going and continue, just trying to bring a fresh, young perspective about Houston sports. And once again, I'm just blessed to be here, boys.
Good to have you, Ruben. Now, here's the thing. I want this fresh, young perspective on where this Astros team is going. I want you to break it down for me. We know that they got a lead on the Mariners.
Yeah.
We know they got other obstacles that they're going to have to get over. Guide me down the path of what the Astros have in terms of pitfalls, speed bumps, and what they're going to face. Who's their biggest competition as they get into the playoffs?
Look, here's the thing. The story about this season has been overcoming adversity. It's not like what we're used to, where we're just dominant the entire time. We started off 70-19, and the reaction from outside of the Houston Astros fandom was, the dynasty's over. They're done. Blow it up. But I remind people that this Houston Astros team has told us nothing is impossible. And when I saw those negative comments, you know, the only thing that was in my mind was seeing my people celebrate with no insulation, no sheetrock on the walls. Anything is possible if you are a Houston Astro. Now we find ourselves in first place, 7-3 of our last 10, our last 5 series. We won 4 of them. I'm going to be cocky here. I don't see an obstacle in our way. And here's the thing. We're not even 100% yet. We just got Verlander on Wednesday. We brought back Hector Neris. Kyle Tucker is trying his best to get back. I don't expect him until postseason. But this Houston Astros team has shown you why they are one of the best franchises in the past decade, and this MLB season is a marathon, not a sprint.
Ruben, I think I know the answer to this, but is the Astros dynasty over?
No, it's not over. Like, you have young guys doing it. Spencer Arrighetti, shout out to him. His last couple of starts have been fantastic. Jeremy Peña having a solid year 3 after a sophomore slump. And it's going to just keep on going. And when you still have guys like Altuve, Alex Bregman, veterans who could kind of teach the young guys as they go on and pass along the torch, this dynasty is not over at all.
Okay, so with that question, we know the Astros. We know they're solidified. We know that they've had this golden era of Astros baseball. Of the other two teams, who's the next to get there and get over the hump?
Oh, come on. It's the Houston Texans, baby.
Tell
you know that. Here's the thing. When you have 2 seasons of one-and-done David Culley, one-and-done Lovie Smith, the morale was at an all-time low. I've been to every training camp the past 4 years, and during that era, you could get there as late as you can and still have great seats. I was there on Saturday in the preseason matchup against the Giants, and I can promise you there was more people there than the game where Lovie Culley was a head coach and Lovie Smith was a head coach. You see what this team did in the offseason, which is bringing a 1,000-yard rusher, Joe Mixon, a 1,000-yard receiver, Stephon Diggs, and a player with double-digit sacks. But it wasn't just Danielle Hunter. It was Danico Autry. No one's really talking about bringing back Bobby Slowick, bringing back Gerard Johnson. Those were some of my favorite moves, investing into your young quarterback. And then you talk about the year three guys. If Kenyon Green could get it going, if Jalen Petrie can't get it going, this team is going to fall into place, man. The Houston Texans, they're up, and right now they have everyone's attention.
Stephon Diggs on the wrong side of 30. Buffalo's happy that he's gone. They're paying more money for him to be gone than to be there. Why is Stephon Diggs not washed up?
Man, they sound like a bitter ex. It's insane how many people want Stephon Diggs to fail. And I posted this clip on Instagram where he was working after practice with John Mechie. Mama Diggs commented, and she said, "You see, there's two sides to every story. My son, he helps no matter who it is." And that just goes to show me that there is two sides of the story. And here's the thing. Right now, you could call it the honeymoon phase if you want to, but it has looked good with Stephon Diggs. As soon as he stepped in, he has been the leader. We've been hearing about this trade all the way back in the Pro Bowl, right? Him talking to CJ saying, "Oh, so you're slinging into H-Town." Then we hear the rumors of him talking to a retired wide receiver who is the GOAT, Andre Johnson. Of course, I am excited for Stephon Diggs. It sounds like he wants to be here also. And when you have an offensive, you know, unit like this, dude, it's going to be one of the best in the league.
Okay, so with that being said, and you mentioned Andre Johnson as the GOAT, the Hall of Famer, first Hall of Famer of the Houston Texans. We know J.J. Watt's going to be the second Hall of Famer from the Houston Texans. Who's going to be the third?
It's going to be C.J. Stroud. You look at what he did in year one, and it was all him. Your running game was non-existent until halfway in the season. We thought it was going to be Damian Pierce. It was going to be it was Devin Singletary. You only had three 100-yard rushing performances all year last year from Singletary, and guess what? You were undefeated in those matchups. Your starting offensive line did not play one snap together. You lost Tank Dell, Robert Woods, and Noah Brown. They were nowhere to be seen towards the end. It was only CJ. And I think this young man is going to take the league by storm. I put some money on MVP. I put some money on Super Bowl. We should all be bought in with the Houston Texans, to be honest with you.
So Stroud number three, Watt number two, although Watt always has these thirst traps on social where he's like, "Hey, might come back, might
last
not come back."
Season.
Blankers and I disagree on this, on, you know, do we want J.J. Watt back? Should the Texans bring J.J. Watt back if he wants to?
Well, it sounds like he does, right? What he told on the Pat McAfee show, like, you know, "I'm only going to be working out like this for this year only." The only scenario I see the Houston Texans bringing back J.J. Watt is maybe the last month and a half in the season. You're for sure locked for one and two. You make the call. And here's the thing. J.J. Watt should not come here to save the Houston Texans. He should come in here to bring the energy on the sideline. Remember that playoff game against the Bills? Things didn't start popping until he got that sack on third down from Josh Allen. The crowd got up, and that's what I would expect from J.J. Watt if he comes back. Just a third down guy. I'm not expecting him to start. Just bring me that energy on the sideline, and let's give you a ring, man. You deserve it.
Okay. You're creative. You're young. You promote yourself that way. I'm going to give you one change you can make to any one team in this city. You get one change. You can do one thing differently. You can do something different with any one of the three teams. Maybe it's the U of H. Give me something creative and different that you're going to do to change up one of these teams.
Change up one of these teams. You know, let's continue and stay with the Houston Texans. I want to add a hostile environment. I want people to come to NRG and be scared to walk in that building. We do a great chant of chanting swarm, and it looks, you know, and it needs to be like when the Vikings do their score. We need to be saying swarm, swarm. And I think as there's a new era coming, there needs to be more identities, and that's what I would change, is making the environment of the Texans, which is fantastic, by the way. Shout out to every single tailgater out there. But it needs to be hostile. You need to be scared when you walk into NRG. The camera needs to be vibrating every time we're on defense, man. That's what I would add.
The Houston Rockets had a good year last year.
Yes, sir.
The biggest turnaround in the NBA a season ago. Ime Udoka first year, young team. Do the Rockets have a nucleus that can get them a championship?
I think they do. There's seven guys 23 and younger on this Houston Rockets team. And when you look at Coach Ime, fantastic job, 41 wins his first year. I think he brought a change of identity to the Houston Rockets. We're not getting bullied no more. And I think it started against the Lakers when he had those comments with LeBron James. I'm not going to say it here on the mic, but you know, you don't say that to the king. And the players fed off that. And you cannot bully us no more. And the Houston Rockets, man, I think they're going to be a young team on the rise. The one issue, not issue, but the question is can he handle both Jalen Green and Alpi Sengun playing on the court at the same time. Because for the first start of the season, it was Alpi running the show. He'll give you 25, 10, and 8 every single night. But when we saw him go down, that's when we saw Jalen Green become the man attacking every single defense in front of him. It's going to be real interesting to see. But you guys brought up the young core. There's Amen Thompson, who was a fantastic offensive rebounder. There's Cam Whitmore, who my boy Jacob considers a superstar in the making with his slashing ability. And, you know, we're not even talking about Mr. Jabari Smith, the former number 3 overall pick. He is only going to get better. I wonder if they do have a trade in the works. As you guys mentioned earlier, neither Alpi or Jalen Green were offered a contract, but there is a young nucleus right now with the Houston Rockets. You just got to figure it out, Coach E-Man.
Okay, you got three really good young coaches in this town. We got one in Joe Espada that's taken over for a legend in Dusty Baker. We've got two that's kind of been there, and they're starting to do that. You got to rank them 1, 2, 3, and give me the reasons why. Rank the coaches in this town.
Let me start off first with D'Amico Ryans at number one, because what did he do in year one? Took his team to the postseason, was a finalist for Coach of the Year. Number two, Coach Emmett, 41 wins last year, like I just mentioned, changed the identity of this Rockets team. And Mr. Joe was spotted, and I'm going to give him some credit. When the Astros were down, there were some nasty conversations about him, about his future with the team. So for him to weather the storm and to now be first place as a manager, shout out to him, but I'll put him at third.
If D'Amico got fired in 4 years, what happened?
If D'Amico got fired in 4 years, first of all, there had to be an insane drop-off from our quarterback. There would have to have been a problem with Stephon Diggs in the locker room. Everything would have had to implode if D'Amico Ryans, you know, does get fired. But I go back and say, if one person can ruin your culture in your locker room, did you have one to begin with?
Okay, follow that up. If D'Amico Ryans is now suddenly, for one whatever reason or another, he's stepping away, who's the best coach to fill in? You can have any coach in the world to fill in for D'Amico Ryans and take this team where it needs to go.
Can you imagine a Sean McVay offense with C.J. Stroud? I mean, you have great route runners in Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs, plus the speed outside with Nico Collins, and you're adding in the genius of Mr. McVay, who's been to the big game, won it, you know, with Matthew Stafford. Just imagine how dangerous this offense could be with a Sean McVay or a Kyle Shanahan, familiar with Bobby Slowick, but Sean McVay because it's different.
All right, Ruben, good we stuff, appreciate man. It. Ruben at 713-HOU-Sports. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate
thank you,
it.
Boss, man. Thank
good
you
work.
So much. Thank you.
Rock the Mic continues when we come back. Athletically Declined Sports. We're not talking about Joel. We're talking about a podcast. That's next. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word for the good people at MyBookie. MyBookie.ag is where you need to be when you want to put some money down on sports. It's the best place to be when you want to put some money down on sports because they're constantly taking care of you, the people that go to see them online. Their website is phenomenal. There's interactions between the other people placing wagers just like you. They got all the sports, all the games, and even when there's not games going on, they have live dealers standing by to take care of you with poker, blackjack, and all the casino games. You don't have to fly to Vegas. You don't have to drive to Louisiana. All you got to do is get on your phone, get on your tablet, get on your device, get it going, and know that you can stay at the house and do exactly what you need to do. And they always take care of their customers. Right now they're doing it again. When you put money into your account, they'll put money on top of it up to $1,000, and that means more money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances you can win. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag right now. Use our promo code BET975. That's what gets you the extra. That promo code that I'm always telling you about, it's now the time to use it. When you sign up at mybookie.ag and put money in your account, put the promo code in BET975 and cash in even more. Tell them I sent you by. They're the phenomenal place that I always tell you to go and the only place I tell you to put your money down with because they take care of you in so many ways. Check them out today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag and use our promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbach Brewing Company.
Carbach, the setting for the Rock the Mic Finals. And joining us now, another finalist, Athletically Declined Sports. Tyler Boyer launched Athletically Inclined Sports in 2023, and now he and his co-host Spencer Nolan strive to bring a fresh and authentic perspective to Houston sports. From the Cougs to the Astros, they cover every team that has Houston in front of its name. Find them on Twitter at Athletic Decline. Tyler, Spencer, thanks so much. Congratulations on being a finalist for Rock the Mic. Tell us a bit more about yourselves.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, appreciate you guys having us. It's, you know, it's really humbling being a part of, like, you know, the Houston Content Creator Group. A lot of great guys on here before us. So, man, I appreciate you guys having us on. And so, yeah, we started Athletic Decline Sports in 2023 with the idea of doing content by the fans for the fans. So, you know, here in Houston, I mean, we have a deep sports history, and, you know, we looked at it as we're just not satisfied with what we're seeing on the TV screens.
Yeah, so we're athletically declined. That's why we just talk about the sports. We're exactly. not inclined enough to actually play the sports. Yeah. That's why we're declined.
I could sit here and talk a little bit about my my seventh grade district championship. I don't think that's as impressive.
But no one cares.
Yeah.
Blakers talks about his JUCO in Wisconsin.
It wasn't a JUCO, and I don't talk about it that much, but I will correct you if I have to. I want each of you guys to individually tell me you got a press pass to any one of the teams. You get access to any player or any coach. You get one question. Who's it going to, and what is it?
That's you first.
You want me first?
Yeah, you first.
No, I don't want that one.
This is off the dome for him.
Yeah, so for me, it's pretty easy. I want to go into the Texans locker room, and I got to talk to the quarterback. My quarterback won, C.J. Stroud, the savior of Houston. All the turmoil we went through to get to C.J. Stroud, the Sean Watson years, the Davis Mills miracle in Indianapolis. I want to talk to C.J. Stroud and really kind of get to the bottom of his journey in Ohio State, how he got here, and I really want to ask him how he plans to spread the ball around to all these weapons he's got. It's very exciting times for the Texans. But so my answer, that's chalky. I know that, but C.J. Stroud's an easy answer for me.
Yeah, I could have guessed you were going to go there.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
that's
do
my
one,
guy.
Yeah, I'm going to do one you're probably going to, you know, me not being the basketball guy, but give me Ime Udoka. That's who I want to talk to. I want to talk to him, Ime, and I would want to ask him, like, what's been the biggest challenge having to take on a young team like this, right? I mean, the biggest thing I think that we've learned about Coach Ime is the discipline factor that he learned, you know, I would say under, you know, the coaching staff in with the Spurs. And I think that being translated over to Houston, I think that's the biggest need and the biggest things you need when you have a young core like this, and to kind of understand, like, his thought process, because, I mean, it's a tough task.
Yeah.
There's some who think that Stroud can't produce his sophomore year what he did in his rookie season. What would you say to counterpoint that?
I would say this. The people that are, you know, talking about sophomore slumps, it's a lot of the AFC South rivals that I see, at least. Look, here's the deal. C.J. Stroud, if there's any reason he would have a sophomore slump, it would be because of health. Now, he's never shown throughout his career in college and in his first year that he's injury-prone type. He doesn't run a whole lot. He's, you know, pocket passer type. So to me, that's really the only way I see, because he's got an insane arsenal of weapons in front of him, an improved run game. He keeps offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick, quarterback coach Gerard Johnson. He keeps them in-house. I don't see how there's anything but improvement from last year. I just don't see the path for how he could be worse.
Yeah, I mean, to Spitzer's point, I think that with Stroud, you know, if as long as Bobby Slowick's on that sideline, I'm believing in Stroud continuing. In my opinion, I think that he's a dark horse for MVP this year.
Yeah.
And I think you add a solidified weapon in Diggs, although I don't think Diggs is going to be your number one target there, but I think that it definitely helps, right? I mean, you have three guys on there that are capable of a 1,000-yard season. That, I mean, and then you're upgrading the O-line. As long as O-line stays healthy, you got Mixon in the backfield. I mean, the defense is taking a step forward and adding pieces. Keep the defense on the sideline. Let's try to go out there and keep throwing bombs.
Schedule is tough, though. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Schedule is tougher than last year. That would be one thing. But I don't think CJ's play it won't be worse than was last year.
All right, let's go basketball. Let's talk about the fact that this young Rockets roster has a lot of young talent. Don't have a defined and clear superstar. Don't have a guy that's your go-to guy, which is the building block to any championship-caliber team. You can go out on the market. You can get yourself a superstar. Who's the best fit for this team and why?
Oh, so the best fit, truthfully, the boring answer is we run it back. We got the young core. You know, I wouldn't want to, you know, trade anything right now. But to answer your question, Joel, I want to bring Jimmy Buckets back to H-Town. It's been something we've all known. He's from Tomball. He's not from Houston. Let's be clear. He's from Tomball. But that being said, Jimmy Butler, to me, is, despite his age, despite his wanting the big contract, he is everything that the Ime Udoka culture that Tyler spoke about earlier. He embodies that so well. He's gritty, and I like guys that turn up in the playoffs. And Jimmy Butler, he chooses the entire regular season, I'm not going to shoot three-pointers. And then all of a sudden, playoffs come around, and he's sniping threes. Yeah. He's driving the paint. Like, Jimmy Butler, to me, would fit the Ime Udoka culture so well and would really get that dog mentality out of some of our young guys.
And I think that's the key, right? It's the mentality. You got to set a culture. Like, we're setting building blocks with Ime of a disciplined culture, but to bring a guy with a lot of emotional personality like Jimmy Buckets to come in here, I mean, that's the fire you need, right? Like, you need to have be able to show, you know, I mean, I think in that scenario, Jalen Green's probably going to, you know, get traded. So let's just talk in a world where he's out of the picture. And, you know, you're keeping Jabari, Sengun, Cam Whitmore, guys like that, Van Fleet. I mean, you don't have a lot of these guys that really are, I think, like, secure enough in themselves to be able to have the emotion that you can stand on night to night to night to night. And with Jimmy, I mean, the dude is electric. Like, when he flips that switch, you know it. Not just from his game, but from the emotions he brings. And I think him in his being a little bit older, kind of been around the league now, in that locker room, you can't go wrong in that standpoint.
You can only keep one. Jalen Green, Alpi Sengun. Which one and why?
Sengun. Easy.
Really? Why?
I think that the short answer is I'm done with ISO ball. I don't want ISO ball. It didn't, like, we saw how far it could take you with Harden. I think Zach LaVine is a perfect archetype for what Jalen Green is going to be, and you've seen how that's gone. I think, yeah, you're going to get, you know, high volume points, but at what cost? Like, you've got playmakers, you've got guys that can work well as a team, and we've seen that at a high level. We know that Sengun, Jabari, guys like Cam, guys like Van Fleet who can distribute the ball, they can put up 20 and 10, and we can win, and that's the way we need to, because guys can step up in that case.
Yeah, and also, I don't think I've seen the lows as low for Sengun as we have for Jalen Green. Now, the March version of Jalen Green might be the best basketball player I've ever seen in my entire freaking life.
Yeah.
That guy was en fuego for the entire month. But what happened the first 2 months of the season? He might have been the worst player I've ever seen in my entire life. So the inconsistencies need to balance out. So I would like to keep both of them one more year. Let's run it back one more time, and then we'll see from there which one is going to be the true franchise cornerstone.
And let me ask you guys this too. I mean, we all talk about this in sports. Like, what's the best way to judge what a player really is behind the scenes, right? When you're not watching, that's when they say the real work happens. And you're seeing a lot of these guys that are respected guys talking about Sengun.
Yeah.
They're calling him Baby Joker. I'm not seeing these big guys talking about Jalen that way. And to me, that should be something that if you really want to read between the lines, that's what I'm looking at.
All right, you're looking at the Astros now, okay? You're looking at a team that is on the march to win the division. They're going to get into the playoffs. You realistically want them to do what they've done in the past. How do they get to that point? How do they get to the point? Regardless of what they've been through so far, what's the key to getting them back to the American League Championship Series?
Just be yourselves. It's worked for 7 years in a row, and there have been years where they've gone through adversity. You know, we think back to the dusty days. There's, you know, highs and lows, ebbs and flows. That's baseball, right? Baseball, of all the big three sports, to me, baseball is the one that's just the most random. It's so stupid at times. But if the Astros can just be themselves, when you get to the playoffs, when you get in the dance, you just got to win 11 games. That's it. Now, tall task. I get the teams are better at that point. But the Astros have been there, done that. They got vets. They have guys that have experienced the playoffs before. They know what the bright lights are like. And just be yourselves. You get healthy. Definitely get healthy. You know, we need Tucker. And, you know, before we came on, I was refreshing Twitter for Jordan's neck. I want to find out about that. I'd be lying if I said it's not in the back of my mind right now as we speak. But if everyone's healthy, just be yourselves.
Yeah, hopefully you thinking that doesn't give you any neck problems.
I know.
They'll need Tommy John next week.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be the case. It's going to be because of that slap on the back, too, right?
Athletically declined.
Yeah, that's it. I think for me, it's going to be pitching. And into the more granular, I guess, like, statement on that is with Presley, can you get stability out of that? Because that's going to be something where, okay, you're going to have guys step up in the pen. And then from there, what does JV really look like, and can Hunter Brown sustain his success? I honestly think your X factor in this playoff run is Hunter Brown. Can Hunter Brown sustain it since June? I believe he's got a sub-2 ERA since June, carrying that through. You know, you added Kikuchi, which, again, even in talking about Kikuchi, I think something that's not been said enough is, and maybe even spoken to, is Dana Brown playing chess when everybody else is playing checkers. Because I think the move for Kikuchi, and what, you know, people say we paid too much for him, I think that was to add the arm needed to also block the arm that everyone else needed. Because you raise that price up, right? And everyone else is looking at it. And now you've got guys like Crochet and such, to where, you know, we're expecting them to move, and guys like the Yankees, guys like the Dodgers, they can't go get them because the price is too high, because you've gone and gotten Kikuchi, who is a guy who's got a plus-5 ERA.
It's a galaxy brain moment,
yeah,
for sure.
That's right. It's a hot take.
But, again, it would beg the question, okay, why did the Crochet not get moved? But to the question, I think Hunter Brown coming in and establishing himself as the player we wanted Forrest Whitley to be, let's say that, right? And being able to withstand Verlander going down and still trying to get healthy, right? Losing McCullers, which is going to be big. And then, obviously, Kikuchi still trying to fit in and where his spot is in rotation, while guys like Aaron Geddy find, you know, their footing. I think that's going to be the biggest thing that's going to propel them to what we've seen them do, right? Hit a hot streak and just absolutely obliterate the AL.
Last one. Sticking with the Astros. You have one pitcher that needs to get the biggest out in the game. Could be whatever inning. Biggest out in the game, you know, facing Judge in the fourth with the bases, whatever. Who is the pitcher and why?
Brian Abreu. Easy. Done. Easy. Now, I say that, though, because I'm assuming we still need Josh Hader to get the final three outs of the game. So I'm assuming your scenario is
could be the ninth.
If it's the ninth, and, you know, I'm going the flow. I'm going Josh Hader. You know, that electric flow, that hair is what makes that fastball go so fast. That's my theory.
Biggest moment of the postseason.
One.
One pitcher. Who is it?
One pitcher. I'm still sticking with Abreu, okay, man. I truly think he is the best non-closer in all of baseball. The dude is just absolutely filthy.
He's absolutely filthy.
And for the past 3 years, he has been the most consistent arm in the Astros bullpen. So for me, Brian Abreu, I got a little man crush on him. I hope we pay him when that time comes.
And he's also seen playoff time. He's seen big moments. He knows what it looks like. I mean, yes, Hader has too, but I mean, when it comes down to it, you want guys who everyone in the bullpen, everyone in that, in the dugout looks and goes, we've seen this. We've been here, done this with this guy. And I think that's a big deal, right? Like, we know when you got a culture like that, where the clubhouse, where the bullpen, where the training staff, right, all the way down to it, knows this guy steps on the mound in the biggest moment. You know, that's why, you know, we're going to miss Lance McCullers, right, in moments like that. But we got Brian Abreu. So that's great.
Tyler, good Spencer, job, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. Best of luck. Tyler Spencer of the Athletic Decline Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Athletic Decline. A little bit later, a little less than half an hour away from declaring our winner. But when we come back, our car wreck of the day, all the mean things you said to us throughout the week. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbot Brewing Company.
15-20 minutes away from announcing the winner of the 2024 Rock the Mic. A lot of good candidates.
Very good candidates.
We're going to be lucky with whoever the winner is.
I was very impressed. I was texting with Sean. We almost kind of hoped one of them wasn't good, so it would just make the decision easier. But yeah. All four candidates were very strong.
The four candidates or the bullpen on the weekends? 713-780-3726.
Wait, hold on. Is the winner getting our job on the weekends? Is that what? I didn't sign up.
The Twitchers were saying they're getting Granato's job because he moved to California.
Yeah, well.
That's Hunter Brown's music. Hunter Brown will be on the mound now in Baltimore.
You mean 7:05?
Yeah, 7:05, my bad. What are you expecting from Hunter Brown at Camden tonight?
I'm expecting Hunter Brown to go 6 2/3 and give up two.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take 6 2/3 and give up two. Going up against Maury Povich, the lefty from Baltimore.
Yeah, you hope they do, even with Yordan out, you hope you're able to get some runs generated against Maury Povich.
That should be good enough to win. 6 2/3, two runs against Maury Povich.
Take,
you have all
it.
Your leverage guys available, which are two of them. Brian Abreu and Josh Hader.
Are you warming up for the game? Are you all right? You're really rotating
got,
that
you got
right
discomfort?
Shoulder.
I got some shoulder impingement going on. I don't know how it happened.
You got a gremlin?
Or discomfort.
Or two. Both, yes. The answer is yes. All right, let's get to Mean Text. Our car wreck of the day, all the mean things you've said to us throughout the week.
From Sean Mapes, our car bock of the day.
Oh.
I had to get in his pun. I thought it was funny.
Oh.
Instead of car wreck of the day, our car bock of the day? No.
That's Cricket, good. It's
crickets,
pretty good.
Crickets,
I mean, it's not good enough to win Rock the Mic, but it's solid. It's not bad. He shouldn't quit his day job. No, I'm just kidding. It was good. Lamont on Twitter called me a fraud. Called me a fraud.
Any explanation?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he said I wouldn't go after U of H like I'm willing to go after the Texans. So there is that. Texans don't pay me money.
I mean, yeah.
But, yeah, normally I don't let mean things get to me because I don't take criticism or insults from those that I wouldn't take advice from. But I would take advice from Lamont. So this one actually stung me. This one actually hurt. Lamont, someone I look up to, someone I would take advice from, calling me a fraud. This one hurt my feelings, Lamont. I was hurt.
Wow. You gave me – I'm a little surprised. In
I'm sensing sarcasm.
No, none.
Some of the extras on that.
No. What's surprising about it?
It's surprising when people don't know how, like, paychecks work. Like,
well, surprising to me is the fact that, look, we get plenty of criticism and advice from Lamont. I'm surprised that you would take it.
No, I respect Lamont. I respect Lamont. He fought for our country, so I appreciate his service.
I did not know that.
He's opinionated. I like that he's opinionated. I don't know if I agree with all of his opinions, but I like that he's opinionated. And I would take advice from Lamont, so I have to take criticism from Lamont. So this is the first time in Mean Text history where I've been hurt by somebody insulting me.
Wow.
Lamont calling me a fraud. Someone
Short
else.
History today.
I'm sad. It's been sitting on me for a few days. He said it Wednesday. It's been weighing on me. I've been thinking about it at all. I've lost sleep over this. Someone on the text line yesterday said, cannot stand Mr. Know-It-All on this talk show.
Who's Mr. Know-It-All?
He didn't say who it was.
That
he
could
really
be any one of
I
us.
I think
it
could be all three of us.
I say I know nothing and I'm an idiot.
I still think it could be any one of us.
You think it could be me?
Any one of the three.
How could it be me?
Just stop it.
How could it be me?
The sarcasm that was starting to get worse as you finished the last one, you can stop there.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. I don't know anything. I'm not a know-it-all. I'm a know-it-know-it.
So you always back down from your opinion when others confront you with it?
Absolutely. I'm an impressionable young man. Middle-aged man.
39's not young, brother.
We had intern Sam here.
Yeah.
In the studio the other day to play Man of the People.
Yeah.
He lost. Who did he lose to?
You on a tiebreaker.
That's right. He lost to
He's
me.
He's here, by the
I
way.
Believe you're undefeated in Man of the People.
Am I?
I think so. I think you're 3-0.
Shut up.
Not very fraud-like. Sam is actually here. I see him. Yeah, he's right there. So we have Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5, YouTube, ESPN Houston. Larry N. Gonzalez, he texted in the show. He said, pretty cool that you guys got Megan Rapinoe to come in the studio for this segment. He said that intern Sam looked like Megan Rapinoe, or Rapinoe, whatever you say her name.
I think it's Rapinoe. It's Rapinoe.
Megan Rapinoe.
Sam would have to, like, get the bleached blonde hair and put some color in it and do some things. I don't see it.
I kind of do.
I kind of do.
I kind of see it.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Like, before the hair was dyed and stuff, I kind of see it.
Yeah, minus the hair, I see it.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah.
Even the hair short.
Right.
Oh,
right.
The hair is short.
It's
yeah.
not a far reach.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's actually
I think so. I think
pretty
intern
close.
Sam is a Megan Rapinoe
yeah.
Dopplinger. I think it's not bad. Scott Servais found out he was fired over a news report. This was mean for the news report or whoever leaked it, I guess.
I don't think so.
I think it's very mean.
I think it's mean on the Mariners.
Yeah, it's yeah,
oh,
Mariners,
yeah, you said, yeah. I thought you were saying it was mean on the report for reporting it.
No, I guess not. No, whoever, yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
It's
it
on
wasn't the
Mariners.
Report. You're 100% right. It was not the report. It was the Mariners. Whoever leaked it, the Mariners.
Yeah, don't
the Mariners are in fault here.
Yeah, don't handle your business like that. It goes back to me when Kevin McHale was going into a meeting with Les Alexander, and before he went into the meeting, he had 16 text messages that said, "I'm sorry, bro, you got your job."
Yeah, you can't do that.
No, like, it's awful.
Woj beat him to it.
Yes. Woj and others, but yes.
Archbishop Deshaies he had a tweet yesterday. Let me try to find it real quick. He said something to like how the Astros fire people with dignity as they're handing them their World Series trophy, or World Series ring. Oh, man, it was so funny. Because the Astros do that. They fire guys that win World Series.
Yeah.
James Click,
most front center.
Most recent to do it. Now, they didn't fire Luno and Hinch right after they won a World Series, but they should have won a World Series in 2019, and they already had one. So I think that one's fair to put in there. Someone texted us earlier this week, who had a worse return on investment, Jose Abreu or Jake Asman?
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's an easy answer.
It's Jake. I mean, no, it's not Jake. It's Jose Abreu because I don't think there was an investment in Jake.
No, I mean, Jose Abreu was making $19.5
million. No offense to Jake, but there was no investment.
No, Jake was asking for Granato's money, remember, once upon a time.
He also made the mistake of
that doesn't seem like a good career move.
Calling out Mr. Granato.
He's no longer here.
Yeah, I know.
The proof's in the pudding. Yep. But not the answer to this move. Is Jose Abreu.
It's Jose Abreu. Yeah. It's obviously Jose Abreu.
It's Jose Abreu. Blankers yesterday or 2 days before said he would take Flacco over Deshaun Watson. Someone texted and said Flacco over Washington ?... What an idiot. LOL.
Yeah. I bet you some people in Indianapolis might take Flacco over Richardson right now.
Well,
I don't think so. Kirk Herbstreit was wrong for that.
That's a bold take in the preseason.
But he hedged it, though.
Yeah, his take wasn't even bold. That was my biggest problem with it. Because, like, if he said, if Anthony Richardson's bad all year, okay, maybe. Or at least bad, like, half a season, 5-6 games in a row. But he's like, good game, bad game, good game, bad. No one's going to replace the fourth overall pick in year two if he's alternating good games and bad games. It's ridiculous.
But in a preseason game, to even throw that out there?
He was being a hot take artist.
Yeah, he was, because he even talked about how, like, he's going to have to be really bad for them to consider it. Yeah. That's how starting quarterbacks lose their job.
That's how the fourth
overall being
pick.
Bad. Yeah. Like, that was weird. That was weird to me, Kirk Herbstreit saying that.
Yeah, I just don't think there's a place for it in a preseason game when nothing really matters.
The only, like, I think it's okay if the coach tells you, like, hey, this is a closer battle than people are saying. And, like, hey, it's okay if you say that on the broadcast. But this ain't that.
But I think because the coaches are sensitive about where you get the information from, they would tell you, hey, don't come out like that. You can soft sell that and say, hey, Flacco's looked really good in camp. This is something to be.
No, the listener's too smart for that nowadays, though. The viewer and the listener knows that the TV crew is meeting with the coach that week. They're too smart to do that. Like, well, where else is he getting the information?
Because they're sitting in practice that week.
Right, they're too smart.
So
the
they
viewer's
can see
too smart.
It if Flacco looks good. Because this happened a year or so ago where the coaches got mad that in the part of those discussions, they said something they thought was off the record and someone actually gave it out.
Yeah, I remember that, too. I don't remember who it was.
I don't either.
But, I mean, we all know that they meet with the coach. So if they have, like, this information that you hear nowhere else, where did they get it? They got it from the coach. Like, you can't fool us.
My initial thought was they got it from some beat reporter. Like, I don't know who Kirk Herbstreit follows. Maybe he follows some of their beat reporters on Twitter, and they were posting something online. He probably obviously had heard the thing about the Bengals players trash-talking. That was public news. But, I don't believe Herbstreit came out with this on his own, out of thin air. This was, I think, something fed to him.
I saw him on McAfee, and he said he was at that Bengals practice.
Well, there you go.
So that, he was at the Bengals practice, so that he said he was trying to say what he did
here. And he's an Ohio guy, so there might be a little rooting interest there as
well. But there also wasn't the proclamation that Flacco was going to be the starter.
But he did go. In the same interview, he was singing the praises of how good Flacco looked and how he was slinging it and how he had control of the offense and he was doing all these things. That might be just him.
Yeah, I mean, in the clip that went viral, he was like, Richardson would need to be really bad. Yeah, Kirk, that's what happens.
No kidding.
That's what happens. They also were talking about Jermaine Burton in that game yesterday, and they were talking about, like, he needs to stay awake in meetings.
Like, so he's getting fed information.
Like, that's probably the coach telling him that.
Absolutely.
But I guarantee you Brian Callahan did not want them to say that Jermaine Burton is falling asleep in team meetings. They're like, he needs to stay awake in team meetings and be a professional. How else do you know that?
God.
And then how do you say that?
That's not supposed to get out.
Yeah, that was one of the off-the-record things, I guarantee you.
Yeah, that's awful.
You would assume, unless the Bengals coaching staff is far more old-school than we've expected.
I mean, there's always 10% chance somebody's bluffing, so I guess there's always a chance, but there's no chance.
No way.
I agree.
There's no chance. All right, last mean text. King of Twitch saying, when B-Mac can pedal 15 feet without falling down, I will listen to him. Can you ride a bike?
Yeah, Ryan? I can ride a bike 15 feet.
When was the last time you rode a bike?
It's been a while.
Last weekend.
Really?
Yeah. The girls. The girls like to go bike rides. Yeah.
Last time I rode a bike was probably 2020. I think it was during COVID when I visited Minnesota.
Huh.
We rode a bike to the bar.
Okay.
In Minnesota? How was the weather? Yeah.
Great.
Oh, it was summer. Middle of summer?
No, it was actually in it was October. But it was still nice during the day. Yeah. It got really cold at night.
Yep.
Yeah. It was beautiful. I loved it there.
Yeah, just I tell everybody about those great Midwest cities. Love them in three of the four seasons.
Yeah,
stay the hell away in winter.
It was awesome. Okay, somebody said we need to hire these guys, but I forget whenever they were texted in. A lot of people are saying Ruben was good. Replace Joe George with these guys, says Nicholas Branham.
He's right in front of us and he can't hear.
I was one. All right, we'll end with that mean text towards Joe because that was mean. All right, let's figure out who won Rock the Mic. We do it next. Rock the Mic winner announced when we return. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Carbach on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbach Brewing Company.
Welcome back to Carbach Brewing. They're all cheering for us.
This
they're
is
all
a cheering spirited group. Yeah, I like it.
We're back on the air, so they're all cheering for us. It had nothing to do with what the Astros were doing. It had everything to do with us. So we're about to announce the winner for Rock the Mic 2024. Joe George, are you going to do the honors, Joe George? I think Joe George is going to do the honors.
Joe loves this, man. What are you talking about? That's rude.
Who needs the DNC convention? All the Joe chants and we love Joe. It's all night here.
All right, so first of all, I just want to say thank you to guys like Chad, Wally, who are here today, who competed in the competition, everyone, our Final Four, Houston Sports, State of the Union, Moon Stamp, Athletically Declined, 713, Houston Sports. Thank you guys for doing this. This is the first time we've done this at the station. It's been about 5 years since they've done this, so thank you guys for coming back and doing that this year. And we are excited to announce that the winner of the 2024 Rock the Mic competition, where I have you guys come on in the air, is the Athletically Declined podcast. Thank you guys. So come on over.
I like to say we had a lot of very good contestants. I will say, a good vote.
I was impressed. The final vote came down to 2 points. From first to second, the third one was just behind, so was the fourth. It was a very good competition. I was so surprised with how it went this year. Thank you guys, again, for coming out to Carbach, and thank you for everyone that competed. So if you guys want to come on for a couple seconds, talk with the boys, the Killer Bees.
While they're coming in, guys, all of you were fantastic. Don't let anybody tell you differently. And also, don't give up your dream. No matter what you do, if you didn't win tonight, don't give up your dream. Keep doing what you do because you're good at it and you're only going to get better at it. So keep doing what you do no matter what the outcome was tonight.
Yeah. Congratulations to everybody who was up here. Blankers is right. Everybody was fantastic. I can't imagine the voters had a very easy decision. But congratulations to you guys. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you.
What are the emotions like? It's my sideline reporter question. How do you feel right now?
I truly was on cloud nine even before I got here, man. We were just doing the interview with the ladies out there, Sam and them, and I've always dreamed of being on the radio since I was like a little kid. In fact, I grew up listening to U of H Voice right here, and Joel Blank, How You Like Them Apples, Hollywood. Like, yeah. I remember you, Voice of the Rockets, man. So it's always been a dream of mine to be on the radio. So win or lose, I was already living a dream of mine. So I'm on cloud nine right now, and all the other contestants, they're super awesome, and we've already talked. We will be collabing with them because they're all good. Awesome, 100%. Awesome guys. But, yeah, this is awesome, man. I lost for words right now. That's rare for me if you know me.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, for me, like, full circle, like, I remember, like, waking up, like, elementary school. My dad introduced me to Mike and Mike, if y'all remember the very beginning when they would air it from the studio. So, like, watching that and now, like, having the opportunity to be a part of it is pretty wild. And to think, like, we've only been doing this. Like, we set a dream and a vision forth, like, to our team. And we're like, this is where we want to be. And, like, you know, it's very rare where you have like a group and a team that you're able to push forward to where you're able to, you know, push your content, your abilities, you know, your quality to the level we have to be able to get here. And especially when, you know, the Houston market for sports podcasting, with these guys are unbelievable. You know, it's very humbling.
Lots of guys know ball around here.
I was going to say, so you guys end up being the Texans from year one to year two. Now you go from kind of just trying to get your feet wet to now suddenly you've had some success. Now you've got the platform. What do you do with it?
I mean, hey, we're by the fans for the fans. We you know, we stay true to our mantra in that. We don't change who we are, and we continue to evolve and be better and cutting edge and entertaining. I think at the end of the day, you can know ball, and a lot of people know ball, but are you entertaining? Like, are you relatable? What, you know, are, you know, what makes people want to come back and listen to you? And that's, I think, what we try to put a lot of time into, is we're not fake. Like, if you come in, like, sit down and have a beer with us, or, you know, want to, you know, hang out at a game or a live stream event, like, we're the same people. We're on there talking ball.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a crappy take, I'm going to tell you to your face.
And another thing, too, is I think a lot of people in general, like, you know, in today's world of social media, they make sports not fun. Like, sports, at the end of the day, we're supposed to have fun while we watch sports. And things can get toxic on Twitter, and I'll admit I've had my fair share of times. You know, back in the James Harden era,
I never do that.
Yeah, no, of course not, never. But at the end of the day, it's all about having fun and rooting for your teams and being loyal to them to the end of the day. So, you know, that's definitely going to be something that we continue.
How often are you all podcasting?
Oh man,
God.
Pretty much like, I mean,
three.
It's hard
three,
to
four,
answer.
Yeah, four times a week.
Yeah.
So they kind of got stepped up. We just signed with we have a management team now, so, you know, that kind of got pushed forward into some other like live stream opportunities. We've got Athletically Declined Sports. We have AD Media, and then we have ADG, which is AD Gaming. So we have pop culture stuff on AD Media. We've got some great shows on there. Reality, for reality TV fans out there. We have Bad Dad Podcast, which I host, which is for, you know, successful people in business, but also relevant in their kids and family's life, and kind of breaking that wall down. And then we have like on our AD Sports page, me and Spencer do Buddies and Balls. We're about to transition into the three-man rush that we do every year for football season. Mm-hmm. And then we even get into pro wrestling that we do every Wednesday, which has been one of our biggest shows that has grown most of any of them. We call Split Decision, and that just continues to grow every week, and it's awesome. I mean, we are both blessed with a great team around us.
What reality TV? I know Blankers watches what, the 3,000-pound sisters, or
don't sell me out for all the you watch. Vanderpump.
I watch them with my wife. The Vanderpumps.
I'm a Vanderpump fan. I'm with you there.
The Below Decks. That's the challenge. What's the one that you watch for real?
Perfect Match. My wife watches. Was it 1,000-pound sisters?
Yeah, y'all talk about all these?
I'll talk Vanderpump with anyone.
Listen, here's the problem, is that The Bachelor has made a critical error, and they have Jesse Palmer instead of Chris Harrison, and there needs to be justice. I hate Jesse Palmer with a passion that burns in my soul.
I like it.
But, hey, you know, it's all good. We have sports to kind of lean on for Jesse, I guess.
Yeah.
Did you actually say that the podcast you're transitioning out of was Boys and Balls?
Buddies and Balls.
Yeah. Buddies and Balls.
Yeah,
sports balls.
We're seeing buddies.
I didn't take it any further, Jerry. Yeah. I just asked a question for clarification. Paul just left the room. Otherwise,
family
there might
show,
have been
right?
more to this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're buddies and we talk about balls. Like, yeah. That's
baseballs
the show.
And basketballs.
Yeah, yeah. Couldn't imagine what else you could think about.
Golf balls. Tennis cricket, balls.
Cricket. Cricket.
Hockey balls. Yeah. Just kidding.
Yeah, all the balls.
Hockey balls.
Well, it was a joke.
Like. I get it, yeah.
We appreciate so much, man. It was a great job of you guys.
Good job, guys.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
There's only one crown, though, so like, how are y'all going to split that? They're going to break it in
He's
half?
He's the one that doesn't wear a hat, so I'm going to let him wear that one.
You can split it up.
Yeah.
He's got good cabbage. He can do that.
Thank you.
I'm surprised they were able to pick one winner, though. I mean, these guys were fantastic, and all the other three were fantastic, too.
No question about it. Like I said, we had a lot of talent. You were hoping that as judges it would be easier to be real clear cut. Joe mentioned how close it was. It was close for a reason, because they came prepared. They brought it when we brought them on the air, and they made the decision very tough, and that's all you can ask for when you do any kind of contest like this.
They were very good. Also, thanks to everybody for coming out. Great turnout here at Carbach. Want to thank everybody for coming on out to support the finalists. We really appreciate that. They certainly deserve your support. We want to thank everybody here at Carbach, too. for taking care of us, getting us a little private room. That way we could do the Rock the Mic. Fantastic for them and fantastic for all of you. It's going to wrap up our week. I want to thank Brian McDonald for doing all the hard work, on-site engineering. A tough, tough job. That on-site engineering. Not many people can do it. I also want to thank Boston Rodriguez filling in, producing today's show from Gal. For Blankers, I'm Brad. I want to thank all of our contestants one final time. Good night from Carbock. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.